Hello, basketball gamers, and welcome to episode number 144 of the LSC podcast. I'm Andrew, with you as always. With me as always is Ben, also known as Arcane in the forum.
Hey, everyone.
And we're back. We're a little bit later again this week. Had a bit of a mix-up, but we are back on the air. We're not going to make a habit of it usually coming out on Saturdays or Fridays, depending on where you are in the world, but sometimes it happens, but we're determined to keep that streak alive.
Yeah, we don't want to kill it off, so yep.
Not what we've made it a whole month.
That's
into
true.
A year without actually missing one for whatever reason.
Yep.
But we are here. We're glad that you are tuning in. Got a few fun things to talk about this week, some news to cover, some both on the video game front and the NBA front, so thought we'd get right into it with some the latest on NBA Live updates. We've been talking about this for the last couple of weeks now, and the roster updates are still coming through. When we were recording last week's episode, I don't think we'd actually had the blog post yet, and it's actually the same this week. By the time you hear this, it probably will be already out, but the roster update did come through today. Unfortunately, no All-Star updates, even though the All-Star rosters have been announced. They have not been updated yet. The All-Star jerseys are not in the game, or the court not in the game yet. But Josh Smith is on the Rockets, so that's good to see.
Yeah. Well, I reckon it'll probably this week. I mean, the latest would be next week for sure, but I think by the end of this... Because it is Friday today, isn't it? So.
Next week's update, you mean?
The
right before the All-Star game?
Yeah.
I hope so. I mean, it's one of those things that I think you really need to be on time with. 2K has pushed through their jerseys, the All-Star jerseys in court. They tweeted that out today, so that's already in the game. If you haven't fired up the game, it should automatically download. I haven't actually checked them out in game myself, but I'm just going by their Twitter, and no one seems to dispute the fact that the updates have come through, so I'm going to trust them on that. But it's definitely something that needs to be done. We've talked about the updates at length before, and there's actually still no big moments have come through. That they have not been updated since December in NBA Live 16, and I was actually looking this week, and NBA Rewind, where you can play the full games and have to reach certain goals, and basically, I mean, that NBA Rewind was in NBA Live 10, if you remember,
yep.
And they expanded that with big moments and when they brought back the series with NBA Live 14, but in any event, NBA Rewind games haven't been updated since November, so that's kind of not good, to say the least.
Disappointing, like, considering, you know, it's one of the things that they had done a really good job of in previous releases and that, so...
Even 14 and 15 were pretty good with both big moments and NBA Rewind, so I'm not sure what's happened there. I might see if I can put out some feelers and see if I can get some more insight into that, because I'd really like to know. I mean, they are still pushing through new content, obviously with the rosters and Ultimate Team, which is nice, but... Certainly, you do have these other online content-driven, new content-driven modes like Rewind and Big Moments, and you know the rosters are another issue altogether. The rosters have gotten a bit better in the last couple of weeks or so, but yeah, it's over a month and over 3 months without updates for Big Moments and Rewind, respectively. Yeah, it's hopefully that we were talking about it before we started recording. Hopefully, what you said is accurate and that they are. As we've discussed before, putting the resources into Live 17.
Yeah. I mean, I reckon that would make logical sense, like, if they are doing it. If not, they've just, I don't know, spent their development budget and that already. So it's like, oh, we'll just focus next year kind of thing, I guess. Or, again, with the sales numbers not being as high as they had been in previous releases and that. I mean, they had picked up, so... Yeah.
Not what they were hoping. I mean, this was supposed to be the breakthrough title.
Yeah.
And we've analysed before why it hasn't been, and I'm sure we'll talk about that again in future episodes, especially if the previous season picks up. I mean, we've got a fair bit to talk about today, so maybe that's an issue we'll cover in more detail next week or another time. But, I mean, as I've said before, as long as NBA Live 17 does turn out to be the title that we've been long hoping for from EA, then I don't mind if they have sacrificed some updates for Live 16 to really go all out on 17. I mean, given the choice, you do want to make the customers who bought the game happy, and I'm not saying there shouldn't be some improvement, especially in the rosters at the very least. I mean, Big Moments, NBA Rewind, well, maybe you can sacrifice there as long as the rosters are kept up to date because we don't have the ability to update them ourselves. But if a few things have fallen by the wayside in favor of Live 17 getting everything that it needs to be, I can't fault them for that. It's disappointing, of course, for those of us playing Live 16, but I do understand it. It's not the worst idea moving forward, if not at the very least.
That's true.
And yeah, that's about it for Live. I will come back to that when we talk about what we've been playing this week. Going to bring that segment back on a regular basis. But as far as the news is concerned, last week we speculated on when the road to the finals will tip off. Or was it, were we waiting for it to tip off last week?
I think we were waiting. Yeah.
Because we did speculate on it being soon. And I think a couple of days later they said it was actually coming.
Yeah, I think there's already been one event.
Yeah, the preseason has already started. Yeah. That started last week, but I think they might have, true to form, announced that after we finished recording that it was actually tipping off. Probably about 5 or 6 hours after we wrapped up and went to sleep.
Yep.
Nevertheless, the Road to the Finals preseason has tipped off. This is the qualifying stage where you can get your team together. And I'll just get some of the rules up. One thing I should note while I'm bringing that up is that the PC is unfortunately not included. So PC gamers obviously have had something to say about that. Pro-Am is in the PC version, but apparently it's not covered in Road to the Finals. I'm not surprised, to be honest. Quite often PC misses out on that stuff.
Potentially an next year thing, you reckon, for PC?
Possibly. The PC is always going to be difficult. I mean, it's such a focus in our community that I think the people forget that it is such a niche part of a niche. Interest, you know, we're a niche of a niche, as I've said many times before, when it comes to the PC, which is why we also cover consoles these days. But if you are taking part in the Road to the Finals, I do like that logo, by the way, the one they made for that. Play as many games as you like during the event, earn points for each win based on score, teammate grade, and game stats. Your combined total of your top four wins will be used to determine your ranking. So you can lose a lot of times, but as long as you've got a pretty good four wins, you can actually get through. Which some people have pointed out is a bit controversial. The top team from each event will earn a slot in the Road to the Finals tournament, and team forfeits will disqualify you from further play. So fairly straightforward rules. Haven't really heard any buzz about there being server issues or anything, which was always the concern about it. And they've actually been approved for a big cash prize of $250,000. So that's not too shabby.
Nope, that's a nice incentive right there.
So, I mean, that's the tournament tipping off. If you do want to get interested, if you are interested, I should say, and want to get involved, then certainly get involved at ASAP in those pre-qualifying pre-season events for your shot at the trip to the finals and that considerable cash prize. What do you make of the top four wins idea? Because I've seen some people, again, saying, well, you could consider... technically lose 100 games, but as long as you've got four really great wins, you could still get through. And is that fair?
Not sure. I mean, I haven't...
I mean, I guess it's everyone's game. Whoever has the top four wins, whoever can put together the four best games, everyone's got an equal opportunity to do that with as many tries as they like. So I guess in that respect, it's fair. But it's just kind of funny that there's no...
It's a weird little setup, I guess.
It's quirky in that, yeah, that there's no knockout kind of thing. That you could lose many, many times, but as long as you've got four really great games, you can still get in.
Yeah.
So it's good, but for the people who are winning most of the games but not necessarily getting great teammate grades or anything, I guess you'd feel a bit put out. But at the same time, Pro-Am is about great teamwork, so it kind of evens out, I guess. How else, unless you've got a tournament structure, how else do you do it? I mean, easier said than done. I guess that can be 2K's answer to us and anyone else who questions it. Is, okay, what's the alternative? Okay, you got us there, so might have to give us time. But in any event, that is tipping off the preseason, so another event coming up this weekend, so get involved if you're interested in getting that cash prize. Wouldn't be bad to have that money.
No, that's for sure. Could go a long way.
Could buy a lot of VC.
Yeah.
if you want to put it back into the game.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
I could really fund my clothing line.
Yeah. What in the in 2K or?
well, in real life, okay, I get it.
I was going to say, you're not just going to deck your player, right? You actually are talking about your clothing line.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Not your my player closet.
Yeah, yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, I could really bankroll it. And
have to stage an intervention, I think, if you were going to spend that much money on my player.
That would be some nice money to bankroll that. Actually, do my house up where it feels like actually home, sort of thing for me. So it doesn't just feel like it's a tenant.
That's my problem with the lottery and any other prizes, any other contest that you enter. You start spending the money before you have it or planning on how you'd spend the money, and it's always disheartening then when you don't get the money.
Right.
But certainly a lot of cash, real currency, not virtual currency, up for grabs. So again, get involved. Speaking of a lot of money, 2K, or Take-Two, the parent company, are being sued over some player tattoos in NBA 2K16, with the tattoo artist seeking a fair amount of money in damages. And just reading the report off Pastor Padre here, let's see, Solid Oak Sketches has filed suit over the specific art on 5 players, and they're seeking over $800,000 in damages. And that includes, I think, tattoos on
LeBron and Kobe.
LeBron and Kobe. In particular. So it's made the sports gaming news, and it's, that's the thing, it's not, legally they have a case, it may seem petty to us, and in some respects is, but of course that is their copyright, and if they haven't secured those rights, then they could be in a bit of hot water.
Yeah, well, I don't like the term damages in this sense, for in context in to this thing, because I don't know, damages implies someone was actually physically hurt or something was physically damaged in that sense.
It's one of those legal terms.
Yeah, it's probably more term compensation, I guess, for illegally using their art without form of consent, whether it be written sort of consent or anything like that.
Because they'd obviously have to pay some likeness rights if they own it, and we've seen this before. It's been noted, former wrestler and turned future MMA fighter CM Punk has a tattoo of the Pepsi logo.
I did not know that.
He's straight edge. He doesn't drink alcohol. He loves his Pepsi.
Okay.
So he's got a Pepsi logo on his. On his arm, on his shoulder. And, of course, that's a trademark property. Yep. So when he appeared in the WWE games and now the upcoming UFC game from EA Sports, that's either going to be sort of turned into something that's a fake one or just kind of left out, because unless you can secure the rights, that is someone's intellectual property that you're using. True. And it's kind of... You can't say that a tattoo... People are buying the game based on, oh, that's an accurate tattoo... This is a must-buy now. I don't think that's the case. But obviously, players having exact likenesses is a selling point to a certain degree. And now that you're getting players scanned with their faces and their arms and their bodies and everything, they're going to pick up the tattoos much more
clearly
and realistically.
Especially if you're playing PC on 4K resolution.
Yeah, and if you don't Photoshop them out or kind of doctor them so that it's a legal close lookalike replica. Kind of thing. Yeah, like a suitable, something that can be used on the fair use or whatever.
Yeah.
But, some people are calling it ridiculous and everything, and again, it kind of, it'll sound like it to us, because it's, we want that, and it's, we're not the ones who have to pay the money either way, but it's one of those unfortunate things that if they've, if they have done that without it, then it's that was a bit silly.
With regards to it, I know it might be mainly like this year kind of thing, like where they made it more accurate or something like that. But say if it's been in the game for a couple of years now, and they didn't notice it, I don't know. Do you feel like it's
like it's too late to really?
Well, just I don't know. Just it's just trying to cash in on something like in that sort of
Possibly, and obviously 2K is the premier basketball game right now.
Yeah.
And they're building this big brand with 2K TV and everything. They're doing really well. So maybe they are becoming such a force in pop culture now as well as in the basketball gaming community, then maybe. I'd also have to go back and really compare the tattoos as they appear in like last year's game and this year's game. Maybe they were generics last year. And I have to admit, I mean, I do like the fact that they are going for accurate player likenesses, but I don't. And this is something I probably shouldn't admit in a modding community where obviously many people have made great tattoo patches over the years. But I mean, if in the default game they do have to make an allowance like that, like having a generic tattoo, I'm not really bothered. I mean, as long as the faces look really good and the tattoos are kind of pretty accurate, as close as they can be.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to say, oh, the tattoo is slightly off, pre-order cancelled. I mean, we make that joke all the time, but there are some, if anyone's really making that argument, that's petty.
Yeah.
I don't know about suing. That's definitely petty.
Just sort of thinking in regards to what happened with Live, where they hired that tattoo artist for Live 16 to do some...
Randy Harris, yeah.
So whether he's trying to... This in particular person is trying to find a way to, you know, potentially score a deal like that, you know?
I mean, you don't know.
Yeah. There's a motive behind it.
I mean, I've had people email me when someone's posted a link to an image in the forum and asking me to take it down, and that's not even claiming something as theirs. That's sort of saying, hey, look at this really great artwork, really great photo that someone took. And I mean, I complied because I don't really want the site to get sued or anything.
Yeah.
But I mean, if people will do that, and it's not even, we weren't even profiting off that.
Yep.
You know, not that we profit off anything, we're a non-profit site, but you know, it's, I mean, if people make that claim, then certainly they'll make the claims in a game that's being sold and making the kind of money that I have to make, imagine the 2K is. So
yeah.
I think it's mostly just protecting his intellectual property, which is fair enough, but it's hopefully won't have too negative an impact on NBA 2K17 and beyond.
True.
So we will probably touch on that again as we hear more details, but that's pretty much all there is in the news front. We did want to talk a little bit about our basketball gaming experiences in the past week. Before we started recording, Ben, you were saying you were getting a bit frustrated at times with 2K. You've got your PS4 back, you're back home, as we said last week, and said that you were... Yeah, so you were getting a bit frustrated.
I've just obviously hadn't played it in, like, hadn't really played it much in, like, the last 9-10 weeks, except for, well...
Yeah, you've been away for a while.
Yeah, so it's, like, relearning it, and it's, like, just sort of... feel like, you know, you got that level 48 sort of character, and it's like, starting from the ground up. So, but no, there's just little quirky moments still.
Well, you know, when Michael Jordan took 18 months off to play baseball,
he was rusty, yeah.
He was a bit rusty when he came back, yeah. And he's the greatest of all time. This is our podcast, so we'll say it.
Yeah.
and no one can dispute it on the air, at least. Yeah, I mean, I know what you mean. When you come back to any game after a while, but certainly the sports games, and certainly now that the sports games are more realistic and more lifelike, and that you actually, you know, you can't just fall back into old habits sometimes of the old quote-unquote video game tactics.
Yeah.
Those don't work as well as they used to, so you can, if you're rusty, you can have a bad time with a good game.
Like, yeah, it's just as we were... Before we actually just started recording, I was playing my third game. I'm currently playing my fourth one as we are recording now, since getting back in that. And, I just kind of lost interest while playing it. You know, I was putting up threes in my career that I didn't really need to. And, you know, there's a few turnovers and stuff. It was just kind of like, just over it and that sort of thing. So, I don't know.
When it gets a bit sloppy, you sort of... Yeah.
And yeah, just those little sort of frustrated moments where you still like feel like you're not moving like the player as well as, you know, finding those gaps like where you felt like you used to just a few weeks ago and, you know, pretend.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, those little sort of moments and that. So I think probably over the next week or two, I'll probably look at the other modes, just, you know, a bit of variety.
Yeah, I want to start a MyGM this year, or actually, no, rather in my league, I should say, because I want the sandbox experience. My league in a dynasty, so that's probably what I'll be talking a bit about next week, whether I've had any luck getting those off the ground. Yep. I probably won't do a story thread, might just keep talking about them on the podcast. I have been playing Ultimate Team in NBA Live 16. I'm quite enjoying it, starting slowly putting together my team. Been playing more of the challenges, being able to get a few players, being able to get some. Got Derrick Rose off the auction house.
Nice.
Off the bid. So so that's upgraded myself at point guard a little bit. Run into a couple of the harder challenges, so not winning every game, which is frustrating in some respects, but at the same time, a bit better than last year when I had my all-star team and was just beating everyone a bit too easily, perhaps. So it's nice to be challenged at the same time, although some of the challenge, as is always the case in basketball games, feels a little bit cheesy. Some of the scoring in the paint does need to be fixed up in Live 17. Talked about that before. But, yeah, I've actually starting to really appreciate Willie Cauley-Stein, the rookie.
Yeah.
I got him as my starting center at the moment, and he's doing quite a good job offensively and defensively. So
nice. That's
cool. Might have to start watching him in real life as well, because I'm becoming a bit of a fan, actually. And just beat the Pacers challenge, and that got me a Paul George. So that's upgraded my starting small forward, which was nice. I'm determined not to spend real money this year. The last couple of years I've dropped 10 to 20 bucks just to see if I can boost things up. I'm trying to do it without the microtransactions this year, yep. See how far I can get to actually doing it all in the in-game currency. So far, not so bad. So that's fun, and doing some of the retro challenges or throwback challenges. Earned a Shaq card, a short-term Shaq for one game from the 2000 season. So I'm saving him for a special occasion because he's really good and I don't want to waste him on a game that I might lose.
Yeah.
it's going to be in a game that, you know, okay, this is a tough matchup. I need to put my best guys on the floor. Come on, Shaq, you're in.
Yeah. So
I've only got you for one game, so make it count. So, but that's what I've been doing with the Ultimate Team. I do need to go on a bit of a rant, though.
Yep.
And I did mention this to you earlier today. I've talked about before how I'm not much of an online gamer, be it basketball or otherwise, and one of those reasons is you're playing, having a good game, you're winning, but just before you win the game, you get run into a bad sport who quits and robs you of the victory.
Yep.
I hadn't played for a long time, but I was just going through the NBA Live 16 trophies today, the PS4 dashboard, and thought, okay, I'll try a head-to-head game just to get this trophy, and also to see what online's like, because I haven't really played online this year, and I should be able to give some feedback on that to the dev team. I should know what the basic online experience is like. Not too bad. Lag's actually pretty good. You know, as far as being a lack of lag, I should say.
Yep, yep.
Pretty good latency and everything. So I was impressed with that. A decent decent game. Was pretty competitive in parts, and I managed to pull out ahead in the fourth quarter. I had the game in hand, and I was dribbling out the clock because I didn't want to run up the score. I was going to do the sporting thing. And it's funny because there was a couple of times it did lag, and I thought, oh, God, he's quitting. You know, it's going to happen. But then it got to 1 second left, or 1.7 seconds left, and this person intentionally fouled me to stop the game and then disconnected. So with a second left, I was robbed of that victory. Now, there is the possibility that it was a legit connection error, but it's awfully suspicious. It's
just, yeah.
So I do want to say this. You know, whatever game you're playing, because it's happened to me on multiple games, if it's NBA Live or NBA 2K, NBA Jam, you know, any of the sports games, if you go back and play some of the old ones that are still supported, and certainly the most recent ones, Live 16, 2K16, don't be that jerk. You know, take the loss like an adult.
Yep. Be a man.
What I'm saying, you know. Be a man.
As Russell Peters goes.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, be an adult about this whole thing. Don't be a bad sport. Sometimes you're going to lose. I mean, I've been on the wrong end of some pretty bad beatdowns playing basketball video games online. I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm this fantastic player who always blows people out online. I don't. Today, I had a bit of a good run and to quit like that, and I know I'm not the only person it happens to, it's a waste of my time, basically.
Yeah.
And from the EA's perspective and 2K's perspective, there really needs to be a better system in place that I should get that win. If somebody disconnects like that and you're in the lead, you know, you should get the win.
Oh.
But it, I'd probably be angrier about it if we were recording earlier today after it happened, because I was pretty ropeable when it happened. And you might say, oh, it's, you know, it's just a game. And it is. I mean, don't get me wrong, there are things in life that I will get a lot angrier about than a basketball video game. But
well, it was enough to irritate you enough to put a few tweets out about it.
It was, yeah. And I certainly wanted to do that, and I retweeted them from the official NBA Live Twitter, official NLSC Twitter, I should say. And, you know, it's... Yeah, I just want to get it out there that it's a real scumbag move to make.
Yep.
You know, we're a basketball community. We're all about having fun with these games. Yes, it's not fun to lose big, but sometimes it happens. You know, if you run into someone... Again, not saying I'm the best player, but I'm guessing I'm probably better than other people out there, or at least better on the day. You know, sometimes I look at some of the great teams that have really been blown out by the Warriors this year. You know, sometimes you don't play a good game,
yeah.
and you lose badly. You know, they don't kick the ball and just walk off into the locker room. You know, you play to the final buzzer. So don't be that scumbag. Don't be that jerk. Take the loss like an adult. Don't be a sore loser. Hashtag sore loser. So I knew I'm probably going to write about it again in Monday tip-off, because I was talking to Kenny about it, and I said, yeah, I've got some Monday tip-off fuel now for another column. So that between that and people cheating in my park, you know, with the hacked players and everything, just don't ruin this experience for everyone else, because that's when more sanctions get put in place, and that's when and sometimes they can end up ruining the game as well. So
yep.
don't ruin it for other people. So it was just a shame the first time that I played online in a long time that I ran into a sore loser. But that's the way it goes, though, isn't it, yeah. Sometimes? But, well, if we're still kind of on a negative track here, but perhaps on a more fun and amusing track. Got a few mailbag questions this week. Thank you, as always, for your submissions. And one of them is, what are some of our biggest mistakes when we've made when playing franchise modes, be it the original franchise mode in NBA Live, or Dynasty, or My GM, My League, Association. Some of our biggest mistakes. You ever made a big blunder, Ben, in as a virtual GM?
Hard to think. Like, I haven't played too many of those kind of modes and that.
Not even back in the day?
I mean, I did a couple of Dynasties here and there and that, but not that I can think of.
Never made a trade that you regretted?
It's probably about it, but I couldn't remember who for the life of me. It was that long ago. Sure.
Fair enough. I can tell you a couple. I actually wrote a Friday Five about it recently, or a few weeks ago, I suppose now. In my NBA Live 06 Dynasty, which is one of my favorite basketball gaming experiences, as I've mentioned a few times on the podcast and in the Five, there was a time when I... Just before I made a really good trade and got the team I wanted, I'd kind of made a couple of trades that made the team too stacked, and I traded for the fifth pick in the draft, who was a generated player. There was a point guard. I didn't necessarily need a point guard, but I just thought, oh, I'll try and get a rookie, so I can go for rookie of the year.
Yep.
But then it made my team too stacked. There was no reason for me to have the fifth pick in the draft. I kind of robbed the Knicks of it. But that was at the time that the Bulls were robbing the Knicks of all their picks. Thank you, Isaiah Thomas. So I guess it was. So I had him for a game before trading him away, and I'd made a few trades around that time that definitely weren't, that had just left my team too stacked, and not to the point of they were all 90 overall or anything, but just, it was hard to find playing time for all of them.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't manage the rotation as well as I'd like, and it wasn't really enjoyable to play with, so I ended up making the trade at the time. Carlos Boozer and Kyle Korver had just joined the Bulls, so I actually managed to trade for them, so I got them a bit earlier in the 2007 season in the Dynasty. And the other really big one is I started a Utah Jazz franchise in NBA Live 2002, and I just full disclosure, I'm not a huge fan of the Jazz dating back to the rivalry with the Bulls in the late 90s. Karl Malone getting the MVP over Jordan in 97.
Yeah, I still don't get that one.
It was... I'm not a big fan of the Jazz or Carmelo. I mean, I respect Malone and Stockton, of course, what they did, but never been a huge fan of Carmelo for various reasons, although I do respect his talent and, you know, his accomplishments. Anyway, so I picked the Jazz, and I thought what would be really funny is if I bring Carmelo off the bench for no reason, which I did, and I traded for Scottie Pippen. I traded John Stockton for Mike Bibby,
ooh,
which is ridiculous now as it is. Was ridiculous then as it is now, I should say. At the time, I was a real big fan of Bibby, at least in the video games. Like, he'd be my go-to guy that I'd trade for if I needed a solid, like, round about 80 overall point guard.
Yep.
He'd be the guy I'd go for in basketball games. Live, I should say. That's all I was playing at this time. So, Stockton to the Kings for Mike Bibby in a trade that no one would ever make. made a couple of others. Brought in Scottie Pippen off the Blazers and played a few games. And the novelty wore off real quick, you know, of having Carmelo and being the off the bench for no reason and Pippen and Bibby and the Jazz. And yeah, no, it was just silly. And it was a silly idea to begin with, but at the same time, it was just, I think, one of the worst trades I've ever made, because it was just not realistic, not logical at all. Just, yeah, no, that was probably one of the biggest blunders in trying to set up something fun.
Yeah.
In a franchise experience. But the 06 one, as far as a really successful one, because I have run that for two or three seasons now, the NBA 06 Dynasty, making that trade and getting that fifth overall generated player, yeah, just not a good idea. But I did manage to correct that one, fortunately.
Nice.
And it is, when the franchise experiences, it can really mess things up if you make too many trades or a bad trade. You know, you're wheeling and dealing too much, and then suddenly your team has no identity, or you end up too stacked, or you've completely blown up the team and it looks terrible, and then you can lose interest very quickly.
Yep. I think for me, I tried doing what we call journalisty with Mark for Live 07.
Oh, that's right. Were you both playing the?
Yeah, I had the Heat, he had the Magic, and I don't know, just. Because the limitations of the 07 dynasty, in that we couldn't really get it to what we were trying to do. And I think it was possible to do it in 06 or 05, 06. But yeah, we just kind of lost the momentum to really be able to do it, which would suck, because it would have been an awesome mode. Well, awesome dynasty sort of thing.
You would have had to do that with modding, wouldn't you? Because there's no multiplayer dynasty by default in Live 07, so that would have been you would have edited the DBF file to make that multi-team, I would imagine.
Yeah, well, I think from memory we're looking at one of us would play one game with the team and send the roster, DBF file to the other person, and then, you know, then that person would play the game. I think it was something along the lines of that. So
yeah. So we would have had to modify it so you could both control it. That's something that they need to bring back in Dynasty mode, actually. Multiplayer. Well, technically, it's never actually been in Dynasty mode. Live hasn't had that since it was franchise mode in NBA Live 2003, just to throw out some trivia there. But yeah, multiplayer, multi-season mode, we definitely need that so that you can do that. You know, you have the buddy there and you can either swap the file with each other, or if you've got two people in the house, to each have a, you know, be able to play it. It'll be
I remember we had all these storylines sort of, you know what we were trying to do. Like, I had a whole little love interest thing, because I had a crush on an actual Miami Heat dancer and all that stuff. And I was so yeah, it was like
there's some backstory to this one.
We've been sort of wanting to do this that kind of thing for a little while and all that, because. And then, yeah, had all the graphics and overlay stuff all ready to go and all that. And, you know, some little video stuff. Like, I actually recreated the Orlando Magic website for Mark. And, I mean, I'd modified it, the template, slightly, but it was a pretty good replication of it.
Yeah, a lot of people have done that with Dynasty Threads, yeah.
For the actual website. And, you know, it had screenshots from in game, and it was like we're doing a whole preseason thing with like it was a Zoe versus I think Ewing, because I think he was still in Orlando at that time on the roster, and, you know, being
that would have been 2002-2003 then.
Oh no, sorry, it was Zoe versus Dwight, that's right,
right,
and I still got the actual image for the idea of all that. And I still got some of the images of the files, so of what we had for
Yeah.
it. So
I've still got some old story stuff lying around as well. Might have to dig that up for some Wayback Wednesday. That'd be cool. Just before we move on, the idea that I never got off the ground for a story thread, I was going to do an NBA Jam story thread
oh, yeah.
with the reboot NBA Jam. And because normally I do my presentation on the story threads, I've done it kind of like a sports pages update when with the and with the stats and the game recaps and everything. I was going to do it more in the narrative style because I just to test my create do some creative writing with it,
Yeah.
and it was going to be a Clippers story where basically Blake Griffin is because Blake Griffin was undergoing surgery at the time,
Yep.
or he'd undergone surgery, missed what would have been his rookie year, and then was NBA Jam when it came out. That was his rookie year, the 2010 reboot of NBA Jam. So he was going to be the story's going to start with him undergoing the surgery, and then it was going to go to NBA Jam, and like he has this like a a dream while he's undergoing surgery where it's all like NBA Jam, like that's the world, like the Jam world. So which would have been fun, but I just never got around to doing it. So
That would have been pretty cool.
yeah, it's sort of a funny idea that I had. Maybe maybe you could do some kind of series, YouTube series or something with that. But yeah, we'll keep talking about our experiences, of course, and our week in basketball gaming. We might come up with a better name for it, just so that I can put the reverb effect on it, like I did with the bold predictions. Hope you're all enjoying that, by the way. Before we move on to the NBA stuff, one more mailbag question for the NBA, sorry, for the basketball gaming section this week. With the recent talk of returning to the modding scene, which I've mentioned a couple of times, and we touched on that as well in earlier podcasts, any thoughts on making mods for 2K16? I believe you'd have to get the PC version to do that.
Yeah, well, I'm still considering it. It's something I just wait till next year. Not sure what at this stage. Like, I'd like to attempt something. Whether I try something out, but not sure if it will get released and stuff. I'm not sure. But yeah, like I said, like you said, I'll need to get the PC version. I'm guessing Steam account I'd need to set up to get it off there, wouldn't I?
Correct, yeah.
Okay, so
It's a Steam exclusive. At least the version that we're legally going to talk about on the NLSC anyway. The other versions get us get people banned, so just another warning about that. Yes, if you talk about the Codex or the RLD or whatever version, that's going to be your last post basically on the site. So we're dealing with the legal versions only on the site. We're not supporting the piracy. We want the games to keep coming out. We want to and we're not kissing ass. We're not doing anything like that. We're just that's actually in our hosting agreement that we're not doing anything illegal anyway. So I'm certainly not going to break that because we've got a great host. I'm not going to do anything to jeopardize that goodwill. And also, yeah, all the goodwill we have with 2K or EA. I mean, we want them to keep putting out the games. So, yeah, no piracy. No piracy talk. But yeah, so you'll need to get the game. I do have the game. I really need a roster editor, I should say, to do the things I want to do. Rosters are traditionally my bread and butter. I have done some art updates and such and for NBA Live in the past, but all the stuff that I'm, I guess, best at and most interested in doing and really have the best capabilities to do is all roster based, and the stuff that I want to do, I'd need to have all the access and the roster editing stuff. And I know Greg's working on stuff, but maybe when that comes out, I'll have a look. But at the, not, no immediate plans, I should say,
Okay.
just because of the lack of roster editors for 2K. I really hope future 2Ks do have the expanded roster editing in game or an official tool, or we can work out the files a little bit better. It'd be great if they were still a DBF, if they were databases like NBA Live was, because that was really easy to edit. All you need, you can do that with Excel. You can do that with DB Commander. You can do that with what's it? I forget some of the other ones, but so many ways, so many programs can open DBF files. So that was really convenient having the DBF files since NBA Live 98 through 08 on PC, with the exception of 2002, which of course was PS2 and Xbox exclusive. So that's pretty much it for the gaming discussion this week. Thank you again for your suggestions. We'll be talking more about what we're playing each and every week, as well as covering the news. But we are now moving on to the NBA news and events this week. And we're starting out with Jeff Hornacek, who was fired by the Phoenix Suns after a a very rough start to the season and replaced by Earl Watson. So from one former NBA guard to another, what do you make of that one? I think it was writing was pretty much on the wall.
Yeah,
with the way they've been struggling.
You know, I figure that, you know, they may have been, I don't want to say, probably not like tanking like what Philly and that were doing, but, you know, just trying to get a couple more good young picks and stuff like that, early picks, and then, you know, do finish their rebuild.
Well, the Suns were, they almost made the playoffs a few years ago, and it looked like they were on the verge of being an up-and-coming team, but then Dragic left, they traded him to the, well, he wanted out, and they traded him to the Heat.
Yeah.
And they made a couple of the trades, obviously Markieff Morris, not very happy with one of the trades they made, and his brother for the Pistons. That's still an ongoing issue, and he's supposedly still on the block.
Yeah.
I actually got my notification earlier to say that the Friday Five had posted, so there you go. It's actually my notification tone at the moment is the Mysterious Stranger theme.
Oh, yeah.
from Fallout 4. My life is 100% better, actually, since I'm at least 47% happier since I changed that ringtone. Anyway, Phoenix Suns. Yeah, they appear to be going somewhere, and it's obviously fallen apart since then. So whenever that happens, you know, you talk about the players tuning out the coach and losing the confidence of management and everything. So not too surprised there. And Earl Watson, unlike other coaching changes recently, will not be coaching in the All-Star game. But he has taken over there.
You know, I didn't realize it was Earl Watson that had replaced. Like, I knew they'd fired the coach, but I didn't know who the replacement was. And then until you just mentioned it, I was like, oh, wow, so that's who they got. Goes to show how much I've been keeping in the loop the last week.
Well, it shows you how much you care about the Phoenix Suns, I guess.
Yeah, that's true.
Ever since they traded Barkley, just haven't been the same.
Yeah.
Actually, no, they had some pretty good years there, of course. Steve Nash.
Well, yeah, Steve Nash and Murray and Marion. So, yeah. And then Joe Johnson as well.
Exciting team to watch.
Yeah, that was. And, yeah, that Heat game versus the Suns, where the one where Wade had got that massive block and then that 60-something footer.
Yeah, yeah.
Where Agassi got so excited, he actually ran onto the court. You know, that's still one of my favorite games
that,
watching.
Yeah. I remember that game. It was a good game. It was a good game.
Oh, yeah.
That one there.
And yeah, Tony losing it after Murray lost the jump ball to Eddie Jones as well. Because Eddie Jones had forced the jump ball when Murray was going to the basket. It was just an awesome event and then all the sequence. Yeah. And then he loses it to a guy like 3 or 4 inches shorter than him.
Exactly. And no punching of fire extinguisher on that occasion,
that's,
however.
That's true. There is
that. We mentioned Markieff Morris, and the next topic up is trade deadline speculation. Who do we see moving? Who should make a trade? I still think that Markieff Morris is gone by the deadline because it really seems like he's pushing for a trade. He's not happy there because of the broken promises. As he sees on the broken promises, I think they will work out some deal. The question about Rose or Noah moving was suggested. I still don't think the Bulls are going to move either, especially with Noah being injured. I don't think the Bulls are going to make a deal at the deadline.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's going to trade for them. Like, they wouldn't get anything in return.
You wouldn't get the worthwhile trade for them with the current value and everything, so yeah. I don't see it happening. Rumors about Al Horford or Jeff Teague moving from the Hawks, despite the fact the Hawks are still up there in the East. Apparently the Jazz have made some overtures towards Teague, also been linked to Boston, as has Horford, apparently. Apparently they're fielding offers, but they're not necessarily shopping them. Do you see the Hawks trading away either of them? I mean, the Hawks are, let's see, at the moment, standings. Didn't mean to bring that up.
The Hawks are 29-22.
29-22, third in the East.
And on a two-game win streak.
I don't know that they'd make a move. I mean, I think Horford is an impending free agent, but they do apparently want to re-sign him. Whether they're far apart on money, maybe that remains to be seen, but I don't know. I know they're, you know, liking the way that Schroeder is coming along. I've read that as well, but yeah, I don't know that they'd actually make that move. Not in the midst of them having a pretty decent season once again. If they were struggling, I'd think it's perhaps more likely that they'd retool and start over, but I think they're...
It'd be a hell of a knee-jerk reaction to... Yeah, it'd be kind of like how the Black situation...
Are they going to just throw away the season, or, you know... Because the Celtics are actually 29-22 right there behind them with a tiebreaker.
Yeah.
So, were they, for example, if they were going to trade with Boston, they're just going to give the team that's right there with them in the standings some helping hands? If so, Chicago is just a couple of games behind them as well if they want to give the Bulls a helping hand. So, Al Horford for Joakim Noah. You know, Noah's an expiring contract too. If that's a...
True.
So, why not? Skeptical about that one, but of course my predictions have been way off. Especially the bolder they are, the more way off they get. But speaking of the Celtics, rumors about Dwight Howard to the Celtics, which have been both shot down and also confirmation of them actually taking place, at least preliminary discussions or vague discussions, expressions of interest or whatever. The Rockets say that that Howard is in their plans, they're not shopping him, etc., which of course they don't want to give up any leverage. That would only be dumb. But I wouldn't be surprised if Howard is still moved.
Yeah, I think he will be.
If there's a big name that moves, it'll be Howard, I think.
Yeah. I saw an article the other day that, a headline at least, that, you know, the office end of it is sort of losing their patience with him and his behavior, I guess. I think it was from memory. So, I could see them sort of moving on with him and sending him elsewhere. Who they'd get for him, I don't know.
I think it is going to be another... Well, they probably won't get equal value, even though he's not playing that particularly well. He's still a good player. Still better than a lot of people give him credit for, I feel. I don't think they'd get a fantastic deal in return. No. I think if a big name moves, I think he will be the big name. I just have this feeling that we're going to see minor moves, although, I mean, not completely inconsequential, like the 12th man on the roster, that kind of thing. You know, maybe key rotation players, just not players who have been all-stars or are all-stars.
Yeah.
I'm just seeing some interesting rumors here that the Bucks might be interested in trading Michael Carter-Williams and Greg Monroe. Greg Monroe, of course, just signed with them this past offseason, leaving the Pistons for the Bucks in the offseason of 2015. But apparently they're open to making that deal. They're under 500, 18 games or so under 500 as of today. A bit of a disappointing season for them after they made the playoffs last year. So maybe another retool in Milwaukee.
Yeah. How many retools have they gone through?
One or two, to say the least. I mean, in the last few years, yeah.
I can see them trying to get rid of some, I guess, dead weight would be kind of a wrong term, but, you know, try and...
Well, players who aren't fitting in the...
Yeah, in their system.
If they're not fitting in the system, they're not fitting in the long-term plans, then it does sound like them, both he and Michael Carter-Williams, who I didn't expect the Sixers to trade him when they traded him, but so he might be on the move again. Wouldn't surprise me if they went, because it sounds like they're available for the right price and that might be a bit more affordable for other teams than Dwight Howard.
Yep.
Also, the Rockets are winning a little bit more, so they might, even if Howard's a bit unhappy and they're a little bit frustrated, they might just ride it out to the end of the year. I can see that happening, so... as far as anyone who should make a trade, anyone who should probably doesn't have... I mean, the Bulls would be great if the Bulls made a trade to get some more talent in, but they just don't really have the pieces, except for Jimmy Butler, and I don't want them to trade him. Yeah. So, the Golden State Warriors, they clearly need to trade Stephen Curry to the Bulls. you mean things that would actually benefit the team that's making the trade? Okay. I just saw that the Clippers might be open to trading Blake Griffin, especially if they want to make a run at Kevin Durant in the offseason. So I don't think that's going to happen, though.
I mean,
if anything, well, he played college ball in Oklahoma, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Blake Griffin?
Yeah, he did. He was the NCAA 10 cover boy.
Maybe they could do a sign and trade if Durant's interested in going to the Clippers in the offseason. And he can go home to Oklahoma City where he plays college ball, and Durant can go to the Clippers. But although Durant may go somewhere else, which we'll discuss in a little bit.
Yeah.
No, I can't really think of anyone who absolutely needs to make a trade that I can think of a great trade for them off the top of my head. And I have looked at a few possibilities before we started recording. Maybe the Rockets and Howard is the only deal that really comes to mind. Moving on from that, because it's clearly Harden's team.
Yeah.
And Howard just seems to be...
the fourth, fifth wheel.
Fifth wheel,
yeah.
Somehow, so...
and an overpriced, overpaid one at that.
At that, so... Maybe the Rockets do need to move him for someone who better fit that the role that they're trying to fit him into.
I'm trying to think of... Yeah, I agree. Well, Marcus Morris will go. I think that'll be a definite, like,
yeah.
Pretty much... sign it.
The way he's really, it's yeah, the relationship doesn't seem to have gotten any better. No. So I have to imagine that they'll be parting ways at some point in the not too distant future. Might return to the trade deadline speculation next week, because we'll be a bit closer to it, and of course we're talking about the All-Star weekend next week as well. But maybe a few more rumors are coming out. But going back to the questions that were posed, yeah, I don't think that Noah or Rose, I should say, are moving. And, yeah, I'm a bit skeptical about Horford or Teague actually making it. I think the Hawks are just doing too well for them to really consider.
Yeah.
Unless they get a really good deal. Like, unless for whatever reason the Thunder say, here, have Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook for those guys, you know. Which seems unlikely.
Yep.
I mean, never say never, I guess, you know. But, yeah. Quick one here, but it's been something that I've seen floating around in comment sections, and I didn't make a thread about it in the forum as well. A lot of people seem to be suggesting that Kobe Bryant is going to shut it down after the All-Star weekend. Like, that's going to be his swan song, his big farewell. I don't see it, especially since he's playing a bit better as of late, having some throwback performances. 38 points the other day.
Yeah, and today he had 28 and 12 or something like that.
29 and 12, I think, yeah.
Yeah, so...
27 and 12.
I don't know. I don't think that'd be the way he'd want to end it. I mean, usually he's... You know, he seemed determined to play as much as possible this season. I mean, and, you know, I'm sure there's a few last cities he'd, you know, teams he'd like to play against and all that stuff, and one last time kind of thing, and, you know,
exactly,
do the farewell tour kind of properly in that, instead of just like, well,
and have that last game in Staples Center, because the season finale for the Lakers is in the Staples Center. It is a home game, and you know, I think that will be his last game. I don't see them somehow making the playoffs,
yeah.
And even with the West being a bit weaker this year, then they'd have to go on a hell of a run.
Yeah, and you know,
let's see, they
what would be the point of the Lakers paying him that much to, you know, just be on the bench?
Mm.
So yeah, I think they will let him play the rest of the season, obviously barring any niggling injuries and stuff like that.
That's the only way I can see them shutting it down, is if something happens like a Charles Barkley where he you know, injures himself in what's supposed to be his last season. But even then, I can see him pulling a Chuck and, you know, coming onto the court for a couple of minutes just to play that game and have that last shot or something.
Yeah, like last maybe like 5 minutes or so of the fourth quarter kind of thing.
So he's... The Lakers, as I said, are unlikely to make the playoffs. They've won two in a row. They are currently 22 games behind the eighth spot in the West. So a lot of teams are going to have to suck, and they have to do really well. They're going to have to go on a Warriors-like streak,
yeah,
to make it. So I do think that finale against the Jazz, who are, funnily enough, in the eighth place at the moment, just ahead of the Blazers, that will be his finale. I don't think that he's going to... Unless he scores like 100 points in the All-Star game or something.
Yeah.
and even then, I think he'd still want to finish the season out.
Well, yeah.
So I see where people are coming from, but yeah, unless he's injured, I don't see him shutting it down. I think he's too much of a competitor, too much pride, and good for him, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it would give him the chance, you know, to end it on his own terms. And, you know,
yeah.
That is, you know, I think that was why he seemed inclined to play this year in that sense, you know, where... Instead of last year, where he had the injury, I reckon if he wasn't injured as much as he was the last two seasons. I think, you know, he wouldn't have played this year or and all that stuff. So
perhaps not. Well, I mean, he certainly would have. I think he would have played out of his country. Certainly, have a lot more points. He'd be pushing for Kareem's record by now. Probably,
yeah.
He's going to fall short as it is. Did he pass Michael Jordan? Yeah, he did. By playing more games. No hate for Kobe. He's had a fine career. You know, we can not be fans of someone, but certainly give credit where it's due.
And yeah.
A lot of credit is due with Kobe. I don't think he'll shut it down if he's not as long as he's healthy. And as you said, hasn't completed a full season since 2012 because he was injured late in the 2013 season, didn't play in the playoffs.
Yeah,
that's when he ruptured his Achilles. So I mean, I think he wants to finish a season, you know, and make it go the distance, and fair enough, you know.
Yeah, and it's so like, I mean, why not, sort of thing. Why not? just in the way you want to, you know, you won't have to worry about the rehabs, intensity training, and all that stuff afterwards. You know, you
can, right off into the sunset. Yeah,
yeah,
go for broke. As he said, you know, this is all he's got left to give, so I think he's going to give it as much as he can.
Yeah,
yeah, good for him. You know, go for it. Certainly earn it without for that career, but you know, you know, to segue into other All Star events, Kobe of course is a former Slam Dunk champion. The Slam Dunk Slam Dunk competitors, I should say, have been announced for the 2016 contest. Defending champion Zach LaVine will be there to defend, so he will actually be actively defending his crown. He's going to be joined by Andre Drummond, Will Barton, and Aaron Gordon. That's a surprising field. To me, I would not have picked Andre Drummond to be in the dunk contest.
No,
but Will Barton, I've seen throw down some interesting, exciting dunks, I should say. So I think he can pull out something spectacular because he's got some athleticism and creativity. Aaron Gordon and Drummond, you've got two bigs. Bigs don't do that well in the dunk contest. I know Larry Nance Sr. Won the very first NBA contest back in 1984. A lot of great things happened in 1984. no bias. but, yeah, I'll never write off a contest until I see it, because we've seen some contests we thought weren't going to be that great that turned out to be pretty spectacular, and Levine's a pretty exciting player, and pretty athletic player as well, so I can see him pulling up some more stuff this year. He's got to leave the Space Jam jersey at home. He's already done that,
yeah.
So we can't... I do want to see him do something else apart from put it between the legs.
Yeah, I think that was a fair amount of that last.
It's becoming a bit overdone. That and jumping over stuff.
Yep.
You know, I want to see them pull out some stuff that the Team Flight Brothers did, the 58 dunks that have never been done in an NBA dunk contest. If you haven't checked out that video, definitely check that out. That's quite exciting and spectacular and creative. And I'd definitely love to see the creativity with that as far as the tricks with the ball.
Yeah.
Rather than just jumping over stuff or ripping off jerseys to show other ones, you know, less props, more tricks.
Yep.
So Levine's in it. He would actually, I mean, we're going to do our predictions next week again, but he'd be my early pick.
Yeah, I think in this case, best to go with the defending champ in this case. But I know Aaron Gordon.
He was got, I think.
Yeah. I know Gordon's got some nice hops, though. And yeah, obviously we know Drummond can get up, but whether it be kind of Dwight Howard-ish, I don't know. But yeah, I think athleticism and the right kind of height and that, I think LaVine in this case. I'm kind of wishing I'd backed him last year.
Yeah, well, we did the Greek Freak. We did it on the Kumbo last year.
Yeah, or...
It was just a disappointment.
Yeah, that was disappointing. And even... Oladipo and that. Like, I was expecting a little bit more from him.
Yes.
So,
Do you reckon Andre Drummond will go from the free throw line?
I think it's a possibility. But whether it has that same, like, whether it's still worth a 10 for him, or whether it'd be more like a 9, 9.5 because of the height.
See, I want him to do it. I want him to do the free throw line dunk. You know, it might be the only shot he makes from the free throw line.
Yeah.
All week,
so. Well played on that one, sir.
I mean, I had that one planned. I've had it as soon as I saw the dunk contest participants, so I was going to make a free throw crack. No one to hack him either. So
that's true. He'll have clear pass.
Yes, clever. So clever, I found out. I think it'll come down to Levine and Button. So hopefully, I mean, I've seen some people saying that it's not going to be an exciting contest. Hopefully that's just pessimistic because we don't have the star power. If you look at some of the dunk contests after the 80s, like in the early 90s or so, not always a lot of star power there, but still some really good contests. So it's not always about star power. It's about as long as the competitors bring out creative stuff.
Yeah.
That's all that matters.
I don't know.
3-point contestants have also been announced. Defending champion Stephen Curry. Yeah, he's winning it.
Yeah.
just going to put that out there right now. James Harden, Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson might give him a run for his money, but I still think it's going to come to Curry. Chris Middleton of the Bucks, Kyle Lowry of the Raptors, JJ Redick of the Clippers, Chris Bosh of the Miami Heat, the token big man.
He can shoot some threes.
Oh, he does. He can and does. And Devin Booker of the Suns. So that's a field of 8 this year. It's so
big field.
Big field, larger than usual.
Was it 8 or 6 last year?
Oh, I think it might. I'll just have to check that real quick because it might have been 8 last year. It's mostly been 6 because the dunk contest used to be 8 back in the day as well. They cut that down to 6 and then 4. Probably not the worst idea they've ever had. All-Star game. NBA. Last year's field, 3-point contest.
I know there's been...
No, it was 8 last year. It was 8 last year too. So they are doing the 8-man field. But of that field, yeah, I'm not going to pick against Curry. I'm not going to make a bold prediction there.
Yeah, I think so, but Curry. If we had to pick a surprise winner, though, like a dark horse, who would you go?
Surprise winner. I'll say Thompson would be my second choice.
Yep.
But for a dark horse pick, I might go with... Redick's a pretty good shooter, so whether that would be a dark horse or not. I'll say Curry, Thompson, Redick.
Yep.
As my top 3. And as the dark horse, Chris Middleton with the Bucks.
Okay. Oh, I'll go Curry 1. Kind of tempted with Clay as well, but I might pick JJ over him.
Mm-hmm.
3. I'm hoping not Harden, so I really want him to lose. The most, like, yeah.
You want him to have a Michael Jordan performance where he just gets the 5?
Or even, yeah, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, I'm happy for that.
I think he'll do a little bit better than MJ. Yeah, it's a bit better than the 3-point line.
Sadly. Maybe Lowry?
Yeah, yeah.
I can see Lowry.
Good. I mean, it's a good field.
Yeah.
Good feel. It's just that Curry's like the Larry Bird, just walking in there and asking everyone who's going to come in second.
Yeah.
At the moment, pulling a bird.
I'll go dark horse. I'll go Bosch just for the sake of it. Yeah, just for the humor factor.
It's, could be.
I mean,
you know, Bosch.
He's done it in the shooting.
Oh, the Shooting Stars.
Yeah, yeah, he's hit the big shots there and. You know, his team had been the defending champion for 2 or 3 seasons, so...
They need to make it the half-court shootout, not the 3-point shootout.
Instead of hitting the Hail Mary, you can do, like, you know, the joke about the meteor that killed the dinosaurs, so he killed you.
Oh, geez. It's never going to go away for him.
No.
another interesting story. I use the word interesting way too much, but another... Actually, potentially scary story, to be honest. The Warriors apparently targeting Kevin Durant in the offseason. As I mentioned earlier, Durant is a free agent. He's been linked to several teams, including the Wizards and the Clippers. But the Warriors would apparently be making some moves and be able to get him if they made a few trades. And, of course, with the larger cap that's going to be coming in, they're not sure what it's projected to be at, but it's going to be larger. That's a really scary squad.
Oh, yeah.
If they've got Curry and Durant. On the floor.
It's just, yeah, just call it game over this as soon as preseason starts.
I don't want it to happen. I want, you know, and it goes, I don't want to rag on the Heat because they made the right move and they won championships. Any team that would have a chance to do it would do it. So I'm not going to fault the teams for doing it or even the players really. But I do like the idea of superstars being spread out amongst around the league and having these epic clashes. I'd rather see the Thunder and the Warriors have these epic battles with Durant going against Curry than having them on the same team and just winning all the time.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Michael Jordan said, you know, I didn't want to team up with Larry Bird and Magic Johnson. You know, and it was great on the great on All-Star teams and the Dream Team, of course, to see them all playing together, but that's what All-Star games are for.
Yeah.
You know,
that makes it that special, I guess, instead of it, you know, taking it for granted and things like that. So it makes it more of a memorable experience for the players themselves, you know, and as well as the fans. So
I like to see superstars doing battle, so to speak, not all teaming up on the same team all the time, you know. So we'll see. I mean, that's a long way off the off season. For 6 or 7 months before this is actually probably five or six months before it's sorted. Durant is not thinking about it. There's no indications that he will leave. It's just apparently a possibility that the Warriors will be making a run at him. And yeah, that is scary because they're already pretty damn good.
Yep.
with the players they've got. So if they retool, you know, as good as Harrison Barnes is, for example, and replace him with Kevin Durant, and that's, terrifying for the rest of the league. It really should be. And that's we're still going to be talking about the Warriors, or at least I am, spoilers, because it has come time to throw out this week's bold predictions. And, I'm 0-8. I'm still doing terribly, Ben.
Yeah, I've been on a 3-4 week slump now.
You're 4-8, yeah. So I think it's a 3.
Yeah, that's right, so 3.
Slump. Yeah. So, that's just better than the 8-week slump that I'm on. Yeah. 4-8. Here's the funny thing. I finally said, you know what? I'm going to pull back on the really boldness of the bold predictions. I'm going to say the Warriors will defeat the 76ers by 40. You know, that's still kind of out there, but they've still been beating great teams by, or beating other fairly strong teams by 30. So, you know, 76ers are doing terribly this season. A bit better of late, but still the bottom of the league. Sure, they'll, they'll get beaten by 40 with the way the Warriors are playing. No! The Warriors beat them by 3 on a last-second 3 by Harrison Barnes. The 76ers not only, you know, almost pushed them to the brink of defeat, the possibly the brink of overtime at the very least. No, you know, I can't catch a break with these. You know, that's the safest pick I've made all season, or, you know, since we started doing the bold predictions in November, December. And then, so, you know what? I'm 0-8. I'm just going to, like Michael Jordan in the 2003 All-Star game, I'm just going to keep shooting with a slow start. So I'm going to go for broke again this week. And since the Warriors let me down, I'm going to pick against them. Also because I want to see them lose so they don't get the Bulls record. I'm going to say, and I'm looking forward to watching this game, actually. It should be a good one, hopefully. I mean, hell, if the 76ers can make a game of it, surely the Thunder can. And I'm going to say that the Oklahoma City Thunder will defeat the Golden State Warriors for their 5th loss of the season.
Nice, bold. Nice and bold.
Nice and bold, 0-9. Next week, watch this space. Now, I'm going to stick with it, though. I'm going to stick with it.
Well, yeah, I mean...
You keep going to the well, you're going to find water eventually. So.
Even if it's just a drop.
Apparently so.
And I mean, I was fairly confident in your one, and you know that's why I hinted, you know, you might want to say at least
40.
Yeah, because you were saying 40 is basically in the exact term.
Like,
so it was like, yeah, pretty safe bet.
I mean, I would, you know, if I fell short on it, surely, you know, 15, 20, 25, something like that.
Yeah.
But 3, come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Well, my one was that the Warriors are going to beat the Rockets.
The Rockets?
Yep.
I think they will.
Yeah.
But we have been known to jinx people and teams, so the not going to put a point amount on it? Double digits or whatever, or...
I think after the 76ers game, and I think I just want to try and get back on track
back on the board.
So
playing it safe.
Yeah,
that's a good strategy,
this is probably my safest bet, I feel.
Okay, so you're picking the Warriors over the Rockets.
Yeah.
The possible jinx there. the definite jinx, I'm sure, with there with the Thunder over the Warriors. Those are our picks. Can I get on the board? Can Ben get back on track, or will you fall under 500 as well? Although he's still doing better than I am. But those are our bold predictions. We will revisit them next week, and next week we will also make our predictions, of course, for All-Star Weekend. But that is pretty much bringing us to the end of this week's show. Bringing back a segment that I missed, we missed a couple of weeks in a row now, but we haven't done a trivia question for a week or so. So I thought I'd bring that back this week. And we're still in the Warriors because, of course, the Warriors are the talk of the town all season long. Stephen Curry scored 51 points the other day. His 50th and 51st points came on a bad goaltending call, but nevertheless, he did score 51. That's what the record books say. He hit 11 three-pointers in that game. I thought he was going to break the record watching that game against the Wizards. I thought he was going to get the 12th and 13th threes.
Yeah.
And was actually a little bit disappointed that he didn't. I was hoping that, you know, if you're gonna break records, at least go ahead and break the record. Not the Bulls' record. Break Kobe's record. not Jordan's. So he made 11 threes. That's the second time in his career that he's made 11 three-pointers in a single game. In one game, he actually moved up. He already owns the record for most threes in a season, and he moved from the 21st on the all-time list of most threes in a season up to 10th. In one game.
Jeez.
So he's definitely going to break his own record again this season. I mean, if he's not the best all-time shooter, then he's... Yeah, I don't know when people are going to give him that title if you don't want to give him to him already. But anyway, so he made 11 threes a couple of times before, most recently against the Wizards. He is not the first player to... Of course, he doesn't have the record. That's Donovan Mitchell and Kobe Bryant, both at 12. And... Other players that have made 11 include Kyrie Irving. Klay Thompson did it last season as well. Deron Williams and J.R. Smith. And also Klay and Kyrie have hit 10 a couple of times as well. Or at least once. And a few nines. A lot of nine three-pointers in a game for Stephen Curry, actually. You know, can you say? Best shooter of all time, I would say. So, anyway. So they do have a couple of double-digit... three-point games. So the trivia question is, and I know I'm getting around to it in a very roundabout way, but who was the first player just to hit at least 10 three-pointers in an NBA game? And I'll give you a couple of clues. It was in the 90s.
Yep.
And he was a coach recently.
Okay, so recently fired, I'm guessing.
No, he wasn't coaching this season, but in the last few years he has been coaching an NBA team.
Okay. That's a good one. Trying to remember his name. Okay, so I got the person's face.
He dated Madonna, and it wasn't Dennis Rodman.
Okay.
Although he did make a few threes.
Okay.
But Rodman does not have any three-point records.
Well, I know Barkley jokingly said, and you know, that in Space Jam that he'd stop dating Madonna if he'd get his talent back.
Well, that was just a line in Space Jam.
Yeah.
Played for the Heat.
Oh, Glenn.
At the time.
Oh, can't be Glenn Rice.
Glenn Rice was actually on the team, but it was not Glenn Rice. Yep.
That changed who I thought it was. I was thinking, like, someone else, but okay. Now,
also played for the Lakers.
All right, so it's not Eddie Jones either, because he wasn't a coach. Damn it! What's the name? That's gonna bug me now if I don't get it. Not Cycli.
It was a guard.
Okay.
Coach the Nuggets.
Not Josh Carl. Damn it. Hang on. No, I want to try and get this without... Well, not cheating, but trying to... I'm drawing a blank, and it's annoying me.
Later played for Orlando. Played with Shaq in Orlando and Los Angeles.
Okay. Jeez. Why am I going blank on it? I'm trying to go through the faces through my head of who they... of former players, like, you know, it's like Sabalas and all that. But yeah, trying to put the one that's been a coach.
Yep.
Not Nick Van Exel. Wasn't Dan Majerle, was it?
No, he's not.
Yeah.
Hasn't been an NBA coach,
Okay.
and that didn't play with Shaq on the Lakers.
Okay. Scott Skiles, no. I'm probably gonna kick myself if I don't get it. And you're gonna say who it was, and I was like, of course.
Yeah. It's one of those ones, but so we are getting close. We are running long on time, so
Yep. All right.
I'm gonna have to ask for your guess. I'll give you three, as always. I'll give you three guesses.
Okay.
Three official guesses.
Okay. So we're gonna. Wouldn't be AC Green.
No, it's a guard.
Oh, I thought AC Green was a guard.
No, he's a forward.
Oh, okay.
Small forward, power forward.
Okay. Oh.
Magic and Lakers.
Oh, Magic and Lakers. Okay, sorry.
But he did play for the Heat at the time.
Okay.
So yeah, coach the Nuggets, shooting guard. Played for the Heat at the time. Also played with Shaq in Orlando and Los Angeles.
Oh man.
You got two more guesses, or I can just tell you.
All right. Yep. It's I'm probably gonna ask you to tell me because I don't want to take up too much more time myself. I'll try one more guess. I can. Byron's and is currently not coaching at the moment.
Not coaching at the moment, no.
Okay. So that does.
He's also been an assistant coach with the Lakers and the Pacers. If you're listening, you've already got it. Leave a comment or post in the forum.
Yeah, this one's going. This would drag out. Not Byron Scott.
No.
No. Not Sid. Not Flutty. No, I give up, and I'm gonna kick myself in
Okay.
5 seconds.
It was Brian Shaw.
Sure, of course.
Brian Shaw, 10 three-pointers against the Bucks in 1993. Let me just bring up that game, actually.
Yeah.
Brian Shaw was, 4th of April, 19... Sorry, rather, 8th of April, 1993. 117 Heat, 92 Bucks. And, yes, Glenn Rice actually was in the game. He scored 12 points, 5 for 12. So... In fact, Brian Shaw was 11 of 16 in that game. He had 32 points. Just had the one 2-point field goal and 10 threes. 10 of 15. And
And it was everyone
absolutely.
else I was thinking of, and it was, yeah.
And the next player to do it, November 8th, 1994. A couple of seasons later, Joe Dumars, the Pistons, 10. George McLeod had 10 in 1995, December 95, in the 95-96 season. And later on, just in the end of the 96 season, Dennis Scott, also a teammate of Shaquille O'Neal, of course, had the then record of 11, which has since been broken, equal by many and broken by Kobe and Donyell. But yes, Brian Shaw was the record holder. See, it's never who you expect, is it?
No, and yeah, like I was trying to work my way through, trying to think of the faces and then try and put a name to it, but yeah, just could not
When you
think of
started to
it.
say Byron Scott,
Yeah.
I when you sort of had that the B, I heard the B. I'm like, you've got it. But then you went to Byron Scott, and I'm like, I wanted you to get it. I wanted you to get it. So,
I
but
let myself down on that one, but yeah.
well, hopefully you listening at home got it as well and enjoy the trivia question. And that has brought us to the end of episode number 144 of the NLSC podcast. Thank you for tuning in. Of course, if you'd like to tune in on a regular basis. You can either keep streaming it on the site, of course, or we also invite you to subscribe to us on iTunes. You can also catch us on Stitcher if you want to listen to us on the go. As always, invite you to connect with us on connect with us on social media as well. We're on Facebook.com/theNLSC, and Twitter.com/theNLSC, or @theNLSC if you want to say it like the cool kids say. And of course, the NLSC itself is NBA-live.com. Keep it locked for all the latest basketball, video game news, discussion, patches, and everything else we do. But that is all for this week. I'm Andrew.
I'm Arcane.
And if you're playing Ultimate Team or my team, don't spend too much money. That's my tip for this week.
And don't
See you
quit
next
early.
week.
Rage quit
Don't
early.
quit early, yeah. Don't be that jerk.
Don't be a quitter. Just take it like a man. Or a woman.
Be an adult.
Yes. Be responsible.
See you next week.
See ya.